Welcome back to the neighborhood. I'm Tony Mansmith, and I hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. We have some great guests on tonight. With me tonight, I have three very impressive musicians and writers with me, Michael Engel, Brett Carey, and Caleb Anderson. Welcome, gentlemen. How are you today?
Good.
I'm pretty happy with myself right now.
Yeah?
Yeah, because I survived the weekend. That was the hardest part, was surviving the weekend.
This weekend was a little bit strange. I don't know, was it strange for you guys too? For me, it was just this continuous getting work done nonstop. I don't even think I really went outside.
That's pretty much my weekend. I'm a hermit now, so I live
Mike
in the studio.
A hermit.
Welcome to the crowd. Well, how are you guys? How are Caleb and Brett doing?
We're good. Yeah.
You two are. The people don't know who are listening right now. You guys are actually sharing a mic. It looks really funny right now.
It's like Beatles style. It's nice. I feel like. Yeah, who are the two? Paul, I don't know.
Paul and Ringo.
Our weekend's been good. We've been spending some quality time together.
Awesome.
As opposed to every weekend when you spend quality time together.
It's true.
Going on bike rides together, that sort
I
of
wish.
Thing.
Yeah.
They have a two bike, or what's it,
no,
two-seated bicycle. They're going
to
get one of those in the spring.
Definitely. Well, shall we get on with the interview? I just want to ask some questions before we get started. I mean, how are you guys? I kind of already said that before, but... How are you guys in general? How are you feeling with this winter so far that we've had? It's kind of a tough winter.
Brett?
I saw a photo that just made so much sense. It was like this cartoon stick figure of a guy wearing a hat. And he just says, my face hurts. I live in a place where my face hurts.
It makes so much sense.
Why
do we live here?
I saw a photo. It was a guy standing there. He's like, I just shoveled my driveway. Time to go shovel my driveway.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I haven't had to do that this year, though, living on campus. It's like, they do that for us.
It's true. Well, could you guys tell me a little bit about yourselves? Can we start with Micah here?
Sure. My story is simple. I grew up in India, like everyone else does. Oh, wait, just kidding. I'm a strange kid. I grew up overseas. My parents are social workers, missionaries over there. And so, I've been to a lot of countries. And when I was 18, when I graduated high school, I went and worked in Australia for 4 years, also working as a missionary.
Man.
Yeah, so they switch on the accent a bit more here and there, but they don't know what I look like, so then it's confusing.
Some shrimps on the Barbie.
You know, they actually, it was funny, I said shrimp on the Barbie, and they looked at me and went, what? Because they actually call them prawns on the Barbie. So we have been lied to by American media people. Just be aware of that.
How dare they?
This is the media telling you about the lies.
This is the media telling you we are liars.
Yeah, I always thought that was really funny when other media outlets say, we're going to tackle the media. You are the media. What are you talking about?
Whoops. But anyways.
Yeah, how about you, Caleb?
I grew up in small town Minnesota, Long Prairie, Minnesota. I'm always surprised when somebody knows where I'm from. But my dad worked at a Bible camp, so I went there a lot and kind of grew up around a lot of cool campy things like climbing trees and building forts and stuff.
That's
like
awesome.
That. But yeah, and my dad makes music and did a lot of singing there, and so... kind of brought up with that. It's good. Now I'm here in the city. City life.
Now you're in the city life,
small
yes.
Small fish, big pond. I was a big fish in a small pond, kind of.
Can I quickly ask how you're liking the city so far? I mean, you've kind of lived here, what, half a year now?
I feel like I'm in the city. It's like, there's
kind of
like
the
trees, and like I went on a run and I saw a deer. I'm just at home, I think. Villageville feels kind of, has kind of a small town feel for me, so it's like, like next door neighbor, but I like driving into the city. Like I can go to shows and stuff like that, and it's like,
true.
Oh wait, bands come here.
They don't know what Long Beach.
What?
That's actually worth seeing. So, it's good.
Cool, Brett.
Yeah. Let's see, born in Badness Heights, Minnesota, which is like 10 minutes away from Roseville. So I'm pretty much still at home, but I don't know. Just grew up in one house for 18 years and went to Northwestern. Went to Concordia Academy for high school, which kind of changed my life, which was good. And now I'm, just writing music. I didn't actually start singing until like 2 years ago. I played guitar and wanted to be this angsty guitar player.
That's very original.
Very original. Yeah, so, and I... pretty much play the instrument that everyone else in the world plays. But it's okay.
Can I just quickly ask, how did that whole singing thing come about? Were you just like, oh, I really want to start singing and, you know, start doing this type of thing. Was your family into that? Were you, was it just a realization one day that you wanted to start singing?
I remember when I was a kid, my dad wrote a song for my sister to sing, and she's sang before she even talked. and he wrote a song for her to sing, and she didn't want to, so then he asked me to sing it, and I did, and he said it sounded good, but I thought it was really bad, and so I just never sung after that again. And then pretty much, junior year of high school, I went on a retreat with our worship team for our school, because it was a Christian private school, and our worship team went on a retreat that I was a part of, and I felt like that, like, because, you know, students would be the worship leaders at our school, and mm-hmm. I felt like the Lord was kind of telling me to step up into that position, because no one else was, so I was like, well, I maybe should start singing or something, and so I tried it, and eventually liked it, and then ended up becoming the worship leader the next year. And
I thought you were going to say the next day.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Brett, ended up being the worship leader the next day, so it's quite a transition for me.
No, I mean, I definitely worked at it a lot, and loving it helped, I guess, and now it's one of my favorite things to do, which is funny, because I used to hate the idea of myself singing, but, so, I mean, I'm still kind of new to it, but I enjoy it, and it's definitely a lot easier to express singing sometimes than even, like, my guitar work, and I feel like my guitar work has kind of been able to, like, amplify that a little bit.
Definitely. Well, that is a great story. We all have stories, and in those stories, God is revealed in amazing ways. Could you guys both, or all of you, share a little bit about your testimony a little bit? Can you get a little bit personal?
Go ahead, Brett.
Yeah, I remember I was, like, in preschool or something. It was, like, my mom worked at Minnehaha Academy, the high school, or the just school, private school. And because of that, she was able to send my sister and I there. And so I went there when I was in preschool, and every day we'd have, like, a reading from Scripture. And so I was really interested in Jesus and whatnot. And so, like, I kind of, like, accepted Christ at that moment, but I never really understood it. And I never really did anything about it until maybe I even kind of, in, like, eighth grade, like, I just completely forgot about it and just didn't care. And then about once I started going to Concordia Academy, they really emphasized just, like, getting to know the Lord and having a relationship. And they viewed the school as, like, a school for, like, mission work almost, which I think is awesome. And so I went there, and that really, just, like, the people around there just kind of seeing how there was, like, a lot of godly leaders in the school and stuff like that. And it just kind of, from then, it wasn't, like, just one moment where it just kind of, like, clicked, but it was just, like, from then on, like, as soon as I started attending there, like, it just kind of got more and more to the point where I realized, like, that I'm not having a faith based on where I'm at or my parents or anything, but that God is, like, a real thing, and that it's a relationship that I need to, like, make my own, and I wanted that, and so that's been really, really good for me, and ever since then I've just kind of been progressing with that, and like you commented earlier in the show, it's ups and downs, you know, it's not, you know, it's a real relationship, and so that's kind of my testimony.
Cool. Very cool. Who wants to go next?
I'll say Caleb. You can think a little bit more about your
testimony. Guys both just kind of looked at me like,
no. Yeah, for me, I think mine's similar to Brett. I was raised in a Christian family, and so, like I mentioned before, my parents are missionaries, so I heard about the gospel from a very young age. But, to become my own, the faith had to, you know, I had to go through some ups and downs. And for me, it's a lot of actually going through some downs of traveling a lot. You leave a lot of people, a lot of friends, went through a lot of loneliness and just wondering about my identity, I think, when I was in my teenage years. And so when I was around 16, 17, I just had to get really serious with God and say, if you're real, I need you to show up. I can't just kind of play Christianity anymore. I can't pretend, which is something I think that I want to carry on the rest of my life, is just an honesty with people, even when it's uncomfortable. And I feel like that's something I've realized about God is sometimes we get this feeling, I think, from some Christians that he's this really safe, kind of pleasant, nice guy, which he is, I think, in a lot of ways. But he's also very scary and dangerous in a good way, too. And so I found that out, after being really honest with him and kind of going to the depths of despair, I realized he was real. And I had an encounter with him when I was 18 in Indonesia, when I was doing a missions trip of my own, and just kind of got wrecked by God's love and his love for me personally. And from then on, kind of been growing in a few steps forward, a few steps back, but hopefully moving towards him in the long run and learning to accept that love that he's poured out to me. So it's been my testimony.
Cool.
My turn.
It's definitely your turn.
For me, I always had like just great examples of what it was like to live a life where Christ was your everything and your motivation. My parents were just amazing at that, and just how that was practically lived out. But just one thing that God really wanted to teach me about in my sophomore year of high school or so, I started to realize that this life thing, you kind of work through things, and then you have to work through another thing, and it kind of got to me, because it can be frustrating to work through something only to know that, like, in the horizon, like, there it is, the next problem you have to figure out, like, about yourself, and just kind of work through. And so that was kind of it was hard to motivate myself to, you know, take on the thing that was in front of me when I knew that there was a whole line of things waiting to just come at me. And it's just something that I knew that God was still there and whatever, but it was just bothering me, the format of this whole life thing. Like, my youth pastor was giving a sermon to the whole church, and he spoke on the book of James, and just where, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials of many kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And he read through, I think, almost that whole chapter, and it was one of those times where you feel like God is speaking right at you, like he was right there, like conversation.
So
and then
cool.
I was praying, and then he would, like, continue the sermon, and it'd be like, there's the answer to that question I just asked. And so that was a turnaround point, but I mean, obviously that kind of comes back every once in a while. But through that, I've just been amazed at the way that, like, the potential that God has given us, like potential to for music especially and art, and also for, like, relationships. Like, he just has all these things set out that we can just unlock and open up this amazing Pandora's box of just, like, wonderfulness. And
mm-hmm.
So at the same time as there being things we have to work through, it's just like there's so much potential in that God has created for us to realize and make us feel like we're creating it or something, which is crazy because he created it all. But so that was really motivating, and kind of that's a big part of my testimony. So.
Very cool. We are talking with Micah Engel, Brett Carey, and Caleb Anderson right now. Since this is a show that is dedicated to local artists in the community, can you guys kind of give an input on what you guys see in the future, or what it's like to actually be a local artist in this community?
Brett, you should answer this because I've only been a local for about a year and a half, so my opinion is not quite. But you go ahead.
I don't know. I guess I never really thought about it, just because it's
so kind of natural to you.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been like a slow progression of, like, I guess it's cool in the sense of, like, for example, I'm starting to enjoy a lot more playing at J. Arthur's, the local coffee shop here. And it's just kind of like a cool environment to be able to go in a place and, like, see people that you've seen before and play for them again. And I think that's something that's really cool to kind
mm-hmm.
of, and I mean, obviously, like, we're a very, very, very young band. So, I mean, I don't know. I guess we haven't even gotten to a point where we can say we have, like, a full fan base that isn't just...
Yeah, I mean, our, like, because we worked separately before we met each other, and as we came to school, we were both praying that we'd meet people that we could start something big with.
Yeah.
So Calvin Heights is our band, which we haven't dropped that yet.
It's beneficial right here.
But
it is.
before before that, I mean, it was kind of like our music was like, it just came as it did, and we kind of just opportunities of whatever came up was what we did. And so now it's kind of interesting because now that we're doing this band and doing this album, it's kind of more of like we're seeking out those opportunities too. So I think it'll be really cool to see how the whole local scene works out, because we're just really getting the tip of the iceberg, so to speak. So
cool. Now I'm going to switch to you, Micah, for a little bit, if that's all right with you. Micah, as a musician, how is it going from being the one making the music to the one kind of producing and directing these guys? What is that experience like for you?
Sure, yeah. So you're referring to the last year I made an album with another member of the radio club here.
He was our first guest
on
the neighborhood.
Chris Bell,
so, yep.
Yeah, a good friend of mine. He produced me last year. So as a recording guy, and so my major here at Northwestern is recording arts. And so because of that, I knew I'd be doing a project, and I always was thinking in the process of both self-production, you know, for me, but then also for other people. And it's been fun because I've never really had a chance to do it well. I've observed people do it well in the past, I mean, here and there, but I really haven't actually tried to do it myself, and I've always thought it'd be a neat experience. So I can say that it is wonderful, and I'll say that honestly, Brett, it is wonderful working with you. but it's fun to see just, I guess, the project grow from where it starts. In a lot of ways, I feel like managing someone and directing someone is very similar to making music, is that you have to kind of build on things, and you slowly start, and you have an idea, and then it kind of blends into something else. And then with a lot of collaboration and a lot of hard work, you work through some of the issues, and you kind of find out what works and what doesn't, but I certainly have been impressed by how much favor we've been getting from the local community. And I guess to go back to that other question, we've seen a lot of, on campus, we've seen a lot of people being really interested in the album. We had a Kickstarter campaign that was funded. We reached our funding goal within 2 weeks, which is really cool.
Which is amazing, yes.
Yeah, it was about $1,000 raised in the end, which is really great for the band, and also for hopefully the promotion of more music in the future. So I feel like we've done as good as we could for, you know, beginning artists, and I hope to see that we keep on going with that kind of, intense creativity and desire for excellence. As much as it's for other people, it's, I think, first for us. We have to act like it's, you know, if we're proud of it, then I think others will like it. But if we're not, then we probably can't sell it to anyone. So that's kind of our goal, is to make really good music and really enjoy the process so that we show that in our music and
definitely
promotion.
How, I mean, can I just kind of go off the trail a little bit?
Yeah.
How is that, how does that work for you when you're producing a song, when you're going layer after layer after layer? A lot of people don't really understand what that's like out in the real world. They just, oh, cool, a song. Like, how, what is that like for you to create something that just, wow, I made this. This is something that someone can listen to.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because here's the thing is, like, nowadays in the music world, there's so much kind of, blurring of lines between professional and amateur music, and you find a lot of I was reading about this guy who's 17 years old and he's already a number one artist in the Netherlands, and he is like 17 years old and he's a DJ, and he wanted to be a DJ when he was 8 years old, and so he's been working on music since then on a bunch of just home mixes and stuff, and apparently now he's gotten good enough he's number one on the charts. Well, the reality is he's just using samples and bits of stuff. What we're doing is a little bit different. We're trying to do less electronic music and pre-produce music and try to actually go for the raw original recordings of what you'd find even, you know, 30, 40 years ago when they were doing that. So what we did is we've been kind of tracking along with the whole several months of recording, and so we've already got a lot of that recording done, but we had to get a drummer in first and lay those tracks. Actually, before that, we had to get something called scratch tracks done, which are a click track where you have a beat and a tempo, and then Brett would play along with it and sing, and so that way we have kind of a rough understanding of what the song would be like. And then you add drums, you add bass, you add guitars, you add vocals, and keep on adding, and then eventually you start mixing that together into what sounds, you know, hopefully amazing in the end. It already does sound great, but I'm looking forward to the next few months as we finish up the mixing and mastering process to make it just that much better.
Was it a little bit overwhelming for you at first, or was it?
Oh, totally. And I think it has to be. I mean, if you're not overwhelmed, then you're probably not doing something worth doing, I think. So, yeah, I'm glad. I'm in a good way. I'm happy. I'm happy nervous, I call it. Brett often asks me if I'm stressed, and I go, yes, I'm always stressed.
just pacing back and forth in the room.
Well, pretty much. And I have to catch myself, because if I think about it too hard, I'll go, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? But then the reality is, you know, everyone feels that way about art, I think, if you do it well. And so it's the process of being creative and trying to be active in that. So I feel like we've been pretty good at holding ourselves accountable to that standard of trying to be excellent, not just kind of be like, oh, that's a cool riff. we're done now for the day.
Yeah, like, I mean, we've scrapped our fair share of parts that we
yeah.
were like, oh, no.
I was just going to say, has there been times where you're just like, oh, I want to add another song. Let's keep adding this song.
Oh, no. We actually, we had a song called All In My Head done, and we had, I think we had, like, we just had, like, bass and vocals left or something like that. And we're like, we're listening to it, and Brett and I are like, you know, I don't know about this song. Like it sounds really punky and just kind of dated, and we didn't like the sound of it. And like, but we liked a lot of the parts in it. And so Brett's like, I'm gonna. Hey, he like texts me. I'm like, I've been rewriting it. And I'm like, it's really good. And I'm like, okay.
I was writing it in my head actually.
And so, oh, okay. So he wrote it in his head this whole day. And and so then we got together in the stairwell here at the media building, and we were just kind of picking it out, and we're like, okay, this is awesome. Mike,
yeah, I get to be the one.
Can
we
redo
one.
It?
But then
you're sort of like the father. Just no.
I'm the godfather of this project a little bit, and I had to make a decision there. But, I mean, I'm grateful for these guys being willing to, I mean, try out new stuff. And the reality is, my heart is to, if we could have, you know, unlimited hours, unlimited, you know, salaries, whatever it would take, you know, equipment, it would be easy to do all this stuff. It's certainly not a question of motivated to produce music. It's just more a reality of can we finish this project on time. But fortunately, they approached me early enough that we could finish it. And so we're kind of, you know, as time progresses, you have to make a cutoff deadline. You can't just keep on,
yep.
I think, recording forever, but you have to also be willing to put those in the future. Like, that's a future project. That's something we want to work towards. And I think that's what a good artist does. They always make stuff that they might not use immediately, but kind of save it in their pouch for later. They'll pull that out on a show or something, and then hopefully that will get enough interest for another album. So awesome. Here's to many more.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, we're going to go to a quick music break. When we come back, we're going to talk more. But here's Switchfoot. You're listening to The Neighborhood right here on The Remnant.